I had an opportunity last month to go to one of our manufacturing facilities in Edmonton, Canada, where we build giant chillers that go on top of our data centers. When you get closer to the work and you can truly connect those puzzle pieces together, that's when the light bulbs start to go off. I would love to implement something like that within the next year for TA, whether it may sound elementary, but ride-alongs and visits to where the widgets are made, it goes a long way in terms of the value that TA will add to the whole recruiting process.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a fun conversation with Courtney Grant. Courtney is the Global TA Director for Johnson Controls. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited about our conversation. Let's jump in, as we always do, and if you wouldn't mind sharing just a little bit about your background. It's really impressive. You've been at some great organizations, had some great experience. I'd love for you to just share a little bit about your background and then leading up to the role that you currently have at Johnson Controls.
Absolutely. Like many others, I fell into the recruiting world by way of a staffing agency with Robert Half. Was there for several years, which I think was a really great place for me to cut my teeth in terms of being scrappy, learning tenacity, which I feel has served me well throughout the years. From there, I made the move over to corporate, and it was one of those show me the money moments where, you know, I literally had to sell myself and say, you just got to give me a chance. And they did. And so I went to Western Union, had a great career there. And then with my husband's travel, we found ourselves in Seattle. And so I started contracting with Microsoft, not knowing then that I would be meeting my future boss at Starbucks, believe it or not. So we were only in Seattle for about a year, moved back to Colorado, and worked for a company called IHS, which is now S&P. They're basically a data and analytics company. And got a phone call from the former boss at Microsoft who said, hey, Courtney, I'm starting up a new diversity sourcing team that I would like for you to stand up and lead. I was able to work remote, travel to Seattle. It was wonderful. I was there for about 2 years and was then approached by a smaller coffee company where typically I think people would say, why the heck would you leave Starbucks for something like that? My husband's a former Army Ranger, so I'm very passionate about military recruiting. This particular company, they're pretty viral in social media, very heavy in the veteran community. And so I thought, okay, here's my opportunity to try to stand something up from the very beginning and talk about using my ability to be scrappy. It wasn't just recruiting. It was setting up pay bands and just things that I never had exposure to across HR. So it definitely tested my abilities. And then they started working with a private equity firm to go public and figured, okay, this is probably not going to be a long-term solution. So I moved over to Amazon where I worked for 5.5 years. The first part was with the operations side of things. So think fulfillment centers, area managers, operations managers, leading recruiting teams to fill those high volume fulfillment center roles. As you can imagine, nobody could live without Amazon during COVID. And so we were ridiculously busy. Thank you, job security. And by that time, as COVID was winding down, I was exhausted, moved over to AWS and took over more of a technical type TA lead position. And Amazon had been going through a lot of changes, heavily pushing the RTO initiatives. And I reside in Colorado with my husband and two daughters, really not in a position to relocate. And so I saw the advertisement for the position that I'm in today with Johnson Controls. And I kept thinking, I know the name of that company. Where have I heard it before? And I remembered a former executive that I supported at Microsoft had moved over to Johnson Controls at the time. So I reached out to him. He made some introductions. And then the rest is history. So I will have been at Johnson Controls next month for 2 years.
Great. Very cool. Thank you for sharing that background and going into that detail. Really impressive. A lot of great organizations, great work. If you wouldn't mind for the audience, share a little bit about Johnson Controls as an organization, as well as your role at Johnson Controls. Kind of scope that out a little bit.
Absolutely. I can't remember who used this expression, but they said, we sell comfort at Johnson Controls. And I loved that. So we are in the business of smart buildings, whether it's HVAC, fire suppression, controls, you name it. We're in the business of connecting all of those things together and making a smart building. We started out a very long time ago. It really is an HVAC company and have evolved over the years. And then my position here, interesting, I have a few different hats that I wear. One, I lead recruiting for Global Product Solutions. So the manufacturing hiring that we do both hourly and salaried. I also lead our executive recruiting functions globally, as well as our early careers team. So a lot going on, but I love it and it keeps me busy.
That is very diverse. Usually don't see people doing the hourly manufacturing and the exec and the early in careers. Kudos to you. You must be very good. So that's awesome. If you wouldn't mind, just share a little bit. I know Johnson Controls well. I live in Wisconsin and used to live in Milwaukee where they were headquartered pre, I guess, merger. If you wouldn't mind, share for the audience a little bit about kind of the size of Johnson Controls, like how many employees, maybe how many hires that you do globally, just to have that kind of piece of information.
My team alone, I want to say, I keep a whiteboard with our running count. For last fiscal year, we were close to 4,000 hires. One of my peers in North America who is overseeing the sort of direct field labor, frontline seller type of positions, I think hired almost double. So she has a lot of volume in her space. In terms of size, gosh, I don't even know where we are now, but it's interesting. I'll have family members send me photos of Johnson Control trucks in the wild where they say, gosh, we've never heard of them. And then now that you work there, we see the logo everywhere. So I love that.
Yeah, that's great. Let's talk a little bit about looking backwards a little bit over the last 2 years. If you wouldn't mind sharing maybe some initiatives or successes or things that you and your team have accomplished over the last couple of years that you're particularly proud of.
Absolutely. So one of the main reasons why I came to JCI was because I saw so much opportunity for areas to grow and scale the TA function. One of those is in our manufacturing space. So when I first started, we had engaged an RPO to handle all of our hourly manufacturing hiring. So it was previously handled at the site level. We engaged an RPO. And they did a great job for us. They really helped to reduce our time to fill. They helped us in some very difficult markets and I think got us to a really good place. Since then, we have come a long way in terms of the tools and technology that we have at JCI within TA now. And so we're in a place where now we feel great about taking this work back over from the field to an RPO, now into the talent acquisition COE. So we're in the process of bringing all this work in-house right now. And I don't think it would be possible had it not been for some of the different technologies that we've implemented and also a new operating model that we've implemented within the recruiting team at Johnson Controls. Previously, when I first started, all of the recruiters were full lifecycle recruiters. I saw a need for a little bit of an organizational shift to accommodate some of these high volume areas. And we saw an organizational opportunity to see how we could align to further support our high volume hiring. And what we did was essentially create two different tracks for our recruiters to become subject matter experts, whether they are candidate-facing recruiters or business-facing recruiters. And the goal of that is for them to truly be the experts in the track that they're in. So whether it's understanding the market that they're supporting, knowing the candidates that are within that market, the supply and demand, or if it's understanding the business and how they operate, what their attrition patterns look like, how to create staffing plans for them. And so we went to this model early last year, and I can tell you for my team alone, our time to fill dropped like 40%. It's truly amazing. And so part of that included offshoring a few things. And I think that was a great move. And I think now we're in a point where we're really working to refine it to operate like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, that's really impressive. I don't often hear people segmenting the roles where it's candidate facing versus business facing. That's a really smart idea. I like that. Share with me a little bit, what are the major drivers of that 40% reduction in time to fill?
Yeah, I think it's because we're creating this privilege of focus. We're not asking our recruiters to be an expert in every single thing. We're asking you to be an expert in these specific things and to really dive deep into being that subject matter expert. And so I think in doing that, like I said before, it really helps to create more capacity so that the candidate-facing recruiters actually have time to pipeline now, where they didn't have time to pipeline before and everything was super reactive. Similarly, our business-facing recruiters now have more time to be a strategic partner with the businesses that they work with, whereas before it was really just about closing offers. And I feel like we may be seeing this more and more on the horizon, but I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all approach either. It doesn't work for every business unit, job family. You have to look strategically across your organization to see where something like that would make the most sense.
That makes a lot of sense. I think that's great results. Also great experience improvements, probably both for candidates and for the business, as well as for the recruiters, if they can specialize and operate in their own particular, I don't know if you call it the zone of genius or wherever they like to operate, then usually they're able to be far more productive and far more engaged. So that's great. I really like that design.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to share from success or initiatives over the last couple of years, or would you like to look forward now?
We can look forward.
All right. That sounds great. Let's talk a little bit about looking forward then. So over the next, call it 12 to 18 months, what are some key initiatives or key projects or priorities for you and your team?
Yeah. A big one for us in the manufacturing space and potentially some of the other high volume areas will be around automation. So how can we automate our process to move even faster and not just bring our time to fill down, but really reduce that gap in productivity? And we had to take a step back to figure out what does the impact look like when we don't have somebody on a manufacturing floor. And so right now, with this proactive model that we've implemented, we're building benches and pipelines of candidates so that we can have candidates ready now versus being reactive when a position opens up. Also, in terms of the automation piece, how can we assess our candidates quicker and get them interviewed even faster? And we are working with some technologies to make that happen, which is super exciting. And I think it's going to come out, I'm sure, in every podcast now, is leveraging AI. I was at the Indeed FutureWorks a few weeks ago, and it felt like almost every presentation was about AI and how AI is augmenting our work in the future of work. And I agree, but it's only as good as we make it, right? And really training our recruiters on how to make AI work for them to be more productive is going to be a huge shift for us.
Yeah, I think that's really important. I think everyone's talking about AI, thinking about AI. There's pressure like we've never seen before, especially from like executive groups demanding functions implement AI. Everyone's selling it and without a lot of definition and a lot of thought around it in some cases. And so I'm characterizing it as the chaos era of AI. And I think it's really important for organizations to really spend the time defining what they mean by AI, what their outcomes that they want to accomplish are, how they're going to assess the AI that they're going to implement or build to make sure that it works in sync with everything else that they have and delivers the results. It's a very interesting time now. Unfortunately, a lot of mistakes are going to get made, but I think those that are very thoughtful will come out unscathed and better off for it.
I agree. And I will say throughout all of this, we have a newer CEO, a newer CHRO who are both amazing. And there's a huge focus in our organization right now on operating lean and Gemba, which if anyone's familiar with Six Sigma, you know, very popular terms, but looking at where we have duplicative efforts happening across the company, goodness. And then also getting closer to where the work is happening. And so I can remember, you know, when I started with Amazon, one of the best things that they did was they had me go for a week into the fulfillment center before I could recruit. And I had to learn how to pick, pack, and ship. And it was great to see the size and scale of the fulfillment centers. Similarly here, I had an opportunity last month to go to one of our manufacturing facilities in Edmonton, Canada, where we build these giant chillers that go on top of our data centers. And when you get closer to the work and you can truly connect those puzzle pieces together, I think that's when the light bulbs start to go off. And so I would love to implement something like that within the next year for TA, whether it may sound elementary, but ride-alongs and visits to where the widgets are made, I think it goes a long way in terms of the value that TA will add to the whole recruiting process.
I think that's great advice, great idea. Talk to me a little bit, if you wouldn't mind sharing, how you measure success or performance for TA at JCI, whether that be internally with your team, as well as what do executives at JCI care about in terms of recruiting?
That's a very interesting and loaded question, because I feel like that's another area where we are transforming. You know, when I first started, it was all of the basic metrics around time to fill, time and stage. And we still look at those things to diagnose where we have bottlenecks in the process. But now it's more strategic in nature, in the sense that we want to understand our quality of hire and how do we assess that. We want to understand how our hires are making an impact on the business. And that's a little bit harder to quantify. But if you ask me, I think is much more important than how long it took to fill a position. It's what was the ultimate impact of filling that role or having it vacant for too long. So we are in the process of revamping our KPIs for this fiscal year. And I'm excited because I do think that they're going to be less tactical and more strategic in nature.
That's great. Last question I would have for you is, what's some advice that you would share for someone else that is either in the TA space or interested in the TA space? Maybe something that's stuck with you, something you say with your team. What's some advice that you would share for the audience?
For a TA leader, I would say, as cliche as this sounds, if your people are happy, the business is happy. So creating an environment for your team where they can come to work as their authentic selves and where they want to come to work. And that takes time. It's taken me a while to get there with JCI. And now I feel like I have got the best team on the planet. In terms of a recruiter, I think the tenacity, especially now in today's job market, trying to be more creative in how to get your foot in a door somewhere. It's not like when you and I first started in TA. It's very different now. And so I would just say to keep your head up and to keep after it, because it may not be the first 10 times, but that 11th or 12th time may be your golden ticket.
That's great. Courtney, thank you so much for sharing your journey today. You did a great job. I really appreciate you joining us on the TA Leaders Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.